Good morning to each one of you. What a blessing it is to be in Shenandoah again, and enjoyed the service so far, and thank you for those songs. The one song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. I'm leaning on God's everlasting arms this morning, so thankful to be here this morning. So I'm going to start off with a story. A Russian colonel entered the cell carrying the cane used for beating prisoners. As director of the slave labor camp, he had been informed that someone had dared to preach the gospel. "Who is the culprit?" he demanded. When no one responded, he said, "Well, then all will be flogged." He started at one end of the cell. Soon the air was filled with the usual yelling and tears. When he came to Stanescu, he said, "Not ready yet? Strip this minute." As he stood up, the Romanian deacon, John Stanescu, replied, "There is a God in heaven, and he will judge you." With this, John's fate was sealed. Everyone knew he would surely be beaten to death. There was a sudden hush. At that moment, a guard entered, saying, "Colonel Alban, you are called urgently to the office. Some high-ranking generals have come from the Russian ministry." The colonel left, saying to Stanescu, "We will see each other again soon." However, things did not turn out as the colonel had planned. Communists hate and often jail each other for no reason, as the generals had come that day to arrest the colonel. After an hour, Colonel Alban was back in the cell, this time as a prisoner. Many inmates jumped at him to lynch him, but Stanescu jumped to his defense, shielding the defeated enemy with his own body. He received many blows himself as he protected the torturer from the flogged prisoners. A Christian prisoner later asked him, "Where did you get the power to do this?" He replied, "I love Jesus ardently. I always have him before my eyes. I also see him in the enemy. It is Jesus who keeps them from doing even worse things. The grace of God brings about his blessings in the spiritual and material realms as his children. We do not have to be buffeted about by all the torments that afflict the world, even when trouble comes. The sunlight of God is shining, and there is peace within us." That's a story of a man that probably has more love for the enemy than I probably would have at that time. You know, he stood up to protect the blows of from this man. And you know, he could have said, "Well, he inflicted so much pain and anguish upon all the prisoners. You know, just let him go for a little bit. Let him get beaten. Let him get, you know, he kind of deserved it anyway, right?" But that is not the way of Jesus. And one thing that stuck out to me is he said he sees Jesus in the enemy. Can you imagine looking at somebody that is beating you, somebody, an enemy of yours, whatever it may be, and saying that you see Jesus in that person? So he had compassion. He's seen Jesus, and that formed compassion in his heart towards the enemy, towards those that wanted to cause him harm. Let's go turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. That's going to be our text this morning, Galatians chapter 6, and I'm going to read verses 11 through 17. Galatians 6, verse 11. "Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh." Verse 14, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God." And verse 17, I want to be our theme verse this morning. "From henceforth, "Let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So I want to focus a little bit on verse 17. Paul says, "I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." And as we look at verses 11 through 14 there, we see how there was false teachers that were coming into the churches here, and they felt that circumcision and adherence to the law and these things were necessary for salvation. They were trying to preach that all these things were necessary: circumcision, adherence to the law, and just being, you know, strict adherence to the law. That was necessary for salvation. And, you know, Paul is saying, don't bother me anymore with these things. You know, he's saying, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in other words, he's saying that these marks prove ownership, that he is a follower of Jesus Christ. And it's not the strict adherence to the law, the legalistic things, but it's, as he says in verse 15, a new creature. It's not about circumcision or uncircumcision, but a new creature in Christ. And he's saying, you know, these marks prove ownership. These marks prove devotion to Christ because of the marks that he has in his body. And as I read over that, I was thinking about that. What does Paul really mean here? What is he saying, the marks? What marks is he referring to? And many commentaries believe that he's referring to actual physical marks that he had on his body because of suffering persecution, because of the witness, the preaching that he did, and the anger of the people that he was preaching to, and the beatings that he took for Jesus Christ. And, you know, having marks, does that make you a better Christian, to have marks on your body for suffering for Jesus Christ? Does it make you more devoted? And I'm assuming probably nobody here has marks like Paul does here for suffering for Jesus Christ. And if you do, I'd love to hear your story. But as we think about, you know, Christians today, there's Christians in the world today who have marks on their body because of persecution, beatings that they have taken, and a lot of people were even killed in today. It's hard to fathom that. It's hard to imagine that today there's Christians being killed. And in Syria, there's a lot of persecution in Syria right now. And there's people there that have scars to prove it. The Greek word for marks is stigma. The Greek word stigma means a mark, dot, puncture, or a sign. And it comes from the verb stizo, which means to mark with a scar. And so there's examples in ancient Greece of people that received marks on their skin. Slaves were stigmatized to distinguish them as the lowest in society. So slaves would receive marks. They would be with a hot iron, I think they would use it, a hot iron on their body. They would receive a mark through a hot iron that distinguished them as a slave. And it showed that they were a slave to their master. And we know there's a story, it speaks in the Old Testament, I'm not sure if it's Exodus or Leviticus, probably Deuteronomy somewhere, it speaks of where if he wanted to be a slave to his master for life, he would go up, the master would go up to the doorpost, and he would take an awl and he would hammer that awl through his ear, the ear tip in his ear. And that said that he was a slave for life. He was a slave to his master for life. And many times slaves wanted to do that because living was so difficult in the time and in that time. And there, if he was a good master, he would take care of him. He would feed him. He would provide for his needs. And so that slave would say, "Yep, I want to be a slave forever." So he would have that done. And it showed to the world that he's a slave to his master. The other mark that people would receive in ancient Greece was a mark made on the skin by pricking or branding as punishment for a criminal. And so criminals, if you're a criminal, you might receive a certain mark on your skin. branded into your body that shows that you are a criminal. And that's, I'm sure, a very humiliating mark to have. Human branding or stigmatizing is the process by which a mark, usually a symbol or ornamental pattern, is burned into the skin of a living person with the intention of the resulting scar making it permanent. It therefore uses the physical techniques of livestock branding on a human, either with consent or under coercion, as a punishment or to identify an enslaved, oppressed, or otherwise controlled person. It marked him as a slave forever. A mark signified who was his master. And so, unfortunately, this has happened in the past, where slaves would receive marks. And one other thing I want to mention, too, is sometimes in there's certain tribes in the world living deep in the jungles of parts throughout of the world. They would receive a mark that it was a mark to which would be a rite of passage within the tribe. So if they want to be a part of this tribe, they had to receive a certain mark that would show that they are part of this tribe. And I'm told that today there is a tribe called the Dani tribe in Papua New Guinea. I don't know if anybody ever heard of that. It's called the Dani tribe. And there's a fellow that I know of that flies plane. His name is Brent Fox. Some of you might know who he is. He flies airplane in Papua New Guinea. And I thought I should have called him and asked him if he knows of who this Dani tribe is. But in my research, in researching who this Dani tribe is, it's very interesting. They will remove fingers. They will actually cut their fingers off for certain reasons. And some of the reasons might be because of to appease the spirits and, you know, things like that. But one reason they will, if a man wants to marry his bride, he needs to cut one of his fingers off on his right hand. And that's you can do research on that and find that out. But he will need to cut one of his fingers off and present that to his bride as dowry. So that is something that is going on in our world today. If he wants to marry his wife, he's proving to her that he will sacrifice, he will endure the pain, he will go through whatever it takes to marry his bride. And I am obviously not at all saying that should happen. But it's interesting that some of these tribes have these rituals that they do, and it's actually a ceremony. They will have a ceremony with all the tribe's leaders, and I mean, it's a big deal to be part of this tribe. You need to go through certain things. And then I'm told that if this man wants to divorce his wife, he needs to remove two fingers on his left hand. So it's one of these things that, you know, I believe the government has tried to stop this in recent years, and I'm trying to, but if you can find pictures of these people that are missing fingers. They're missing quite a bit of fingers on their hand for reasons that is very strange to us. But, you know, the marks that Paul is talking about here, he is saying he is bearing these marks on his body because of the Lord. And, you know, because he is a Christian, because he is a follower of Jesus Christ, he has these marks. It is because he is a follower of Christ that he has these marks. There is a tremendous cost to this. And, you know, I really wonder what these marks were. What did these marks look like on Paul's body? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And that will give us a little bit of an idea, I believe, what he is talking about. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'm going to read verses 23 to 30. Speaks of Paul's experiences here for being a Christian. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. So I look at what Paul went through here, and I don't want to spend a lot of time here on this, but I just want to look briefly. You know, this is a man that was unashamed of the gospel. I mean, I believe he went towards the crowd that was angry at him, that was upset, and he knew they were gonna beat him, and yet he went to them to preach. I believe he was somebody that was unashamed. He was unashamed of the gospel. And he knew it's going to make him angry, and yet, you know, he still preached the gospel, and he still spoke to them about Christ. And I just can't imagine being in that kind of hostile environment. Like, just being in Shenandoah here, if you step out of the door, imagine if there's an angry crowd out there that they're mad because we're worshiping Christ. And you go out there, and instead of just leaving and going home, you walk towards them and tell them about Christ. Just imagine that, you know, that kind of hostility that Paul experienced. And we may say, you know, Paul was just different. He was, you know, he was extra strong, and obviously God gave him strength to do this. I mean, to do all these things, I'm not sure I would have survived. But Paul was human, just as you and I. And so, looking at some of these things, stripes. He was beaten with stripes five times. He received 39 stripes, and that's an actual stripe on your body, I believe. That wasn't just a small thing to receive stripes. And he was beaten with rods. It says he was beaten with rods. That left a mark on his body. And one thing I want to notice here in verse 25. It says, once was I stoned. Like, when he says once he was stoned, that was not a big, that was not a small ordeal. Stoned, like, he says, once was I stoned, as if it was just one time I was stoned. That was a pretty damaging thing that happened to his body. I mean, when he was stoned, he was left a battered, beaten, bloodied mess. And when they stoned a person here in this day, they met different people, different times people were stoned. And when they stoned a person, they took big stones to kill the person. Like, when they threw these stones, it wasn't just little pebbles. It was large stones meant to kill. And they stoned him on the ground and drug him out of the city and left him for dead, where they would drag all the people that they stoned. And they left him out of the city and left for dead. And he was a bloodied mess. And Paul got back up again after being stoned. And I'm assuming he went back, gave himself a little time to recuperate, and went back and preached the gospel again to the same people. I don't know. The Bible doesn't really say, but I'm assuming he did. But we think about that, you know. Many of us here, I'm sure, would have a pretty long story to tell if we were stoned. We would describe pretty much in detail what happened, and we'd have a whole paragraph to describe it. Paul says, "Once I was stoned," and that's a pretty impressive, major thing to happen, and the damage that it did to his body. And the Bible says later on in chapter 12, Paul talks about a thorn in the flesh. And he asked God to get rid of that thorn of the flesh that kept, he says, buffeting him. It kept coming back. And I wonder sometimes if it wasn't, that thorn wasn't something that happened as the damage to his body from being stoned. Like the whatever it caused, that's just my wondering if that wasn't something that happened as a result of being stoned. But anyway, He goes on to say he's a day and a night in the deep. I don't know if that means in the water, in the cold water, hanging on to, you know, from being shipwrecked, hanging on to something. But we all know he was rescued. And in perils, it says, often he was hungry and thirsty, cold and nakedness, not having enough clothing to wear to keep him warm at night. And in verse 30, he says, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. You know, he wanted the glory to go to God for as a result of the sufferings that he experienced in his life. He wanted the glory to go to God. And I just, there's one other thing he says in chapter 12, verse 10, it says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. I don't understand how somebody can take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions. He takes pleasure in them, in distresses, for Christ's sake. He says, for when I am weak, then am I strong. I mean, I know what it's like to experience infirmities. I think most of us, all of us here do, know what it's like to experience pain and suffering. You know, he says, for Christ's sake. And, you know, he's glad that he's counted worthy to suffer for Christ. And I want to go back to Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. It says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saying here that he is glorying in the cross. And the cross, we know what the cross signified. We know what the cross stands for. The cross stands for extreme agony and suffering and death. It's an instrument of death. A very, very cruel, the most cruel death that a person can experience, I believe. And Paul is saying he's glorying in that. He's going to glory in that cross. How do you glory in a cross, an instrument so cruel? But you know, Paul here, I believe, he was getting older as he was writing this, and I don't know how he looked. I mean, with all the beatings that he took from the torture that he received in life, but he had nothing to lose. You know, he says he's going to glory in the cross. He's going to be crucified to the world. He says, the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Do we embrace the cross and the life that the cross brings? Do we embrace that this morning? You know, that's not easy. It's not easy to embrace the life of a cross. But that's what Paul is saying here. He is glorying in that. The more we consider the cross and the sufferings, the less likely we are to love the world. And that's a statement that I found that really, really stuck out to me. The more that we embrace that life, the life of the cross, the less likely we are going to want to adhere to the things of this world. John MacArthur once said when he was asked, how do you reverse the affection for sin? How do you reverse that? The affection to want to sin, to kill the sin, how do you reverse that? And he's speaking in the life of a Christian. He said, it's the beauty of Christ that overpowers the attraction to sin. The beauty of Christ that overpowers the attraction to sin. And we need to replace the affection for sin with a greater affection. So we need to replace that affection that we have to want to sin, to do wrong. We need to replace that with something greater. And in 2 Corinthians, I'm going to read a verse here to go along with that thought. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So if we can grasp, think about it, if you can grasp, think in your minds how great our God is and how glorious and how inspiring He is and how just how awesome He really is. You think of the Creator of the universe that created us and everything that we see. And when we can grasp that and understand in our heart how glorious He really is, it should change us. And it should bring us face to face with the realization of who God really is. And it should bring us to our knees and change us, I do believe. And when we do that, it causes us to look to him. And we can, in turn, put off the old man and the old the things that are our old affections, and turn to Christ and live for him. So how do we bear the marks today? Thinking about the marks. The marks, he says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. How do we bear those marks today and demonstrate that we belong to Christ? You know, Paul here, he had these marks. It was a cost. There was a cost to being a Christian. You know, he was a Roman citizen, so I believe he got away with, there's certain times in his life where he wasn't persecuted and he wasn't beaten quite, you know, like they wanted to, because he was a Roman citizen. If he would have been of another nationality, maybe he would have had more, but he still suffered. I mean, we see all that he went through. But we think about the cost of being a Christian. And the one song we sang this morning, I Will Be True to Thee, it says, though it may cost me friends and home. So there's, you know, thinking about the cost. What cost do we have today? I mean, we might be scoffed at, or we might be, you know, people will tell us off every now and then or whatever if we're sharing the gospel. But what about the cost? Is there a cost? What about those marks for Christ? And so as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about think about birds. Think about birds for a little bit here. Birds have markings on their bodies to show what kind of bird they are. And I have a grandmother that is into bird watching. Like she'll travel distances to watch. If she knows birds or a certain group of birds are coming into an area, she will go to there and she'll really study them. And she knows what kind of bird it is, obviously, because of the markings on them. And as I was studying for this sermon, I was watching our bird feeder, and two different birds that I noticed. The one was a robin. Robin. This time of year, the robins are back. We know that's a robin by the looks of the. We can tell what it is by their markings. The other one was a cardinal, and we know what a all of us know what a cardinal looks like. It's a very pretty bird. It's very distinguishable by its markings, and so we don't miss one. We see a cardinal, it's like, yeah, that's a cardinal. We know what it is by the markings. And so the question I want us to consider this morning, do others distinguish you from the world? Do we look different, or do we try to blend in at times? And, you know, so often it's so easy to fit in to the way the world lives, right? It's like, I'm going to be the first to admit it is easy to do that. It's easy to want to fit in and not to look different, not to stand out in the crowd, so to speak. And so, you know, people need to see the marks of Jesus in our lives. People need to see that. That is so important that people can see that we bear the marks of Jesus on our lives. And it may not be physical marks. It may not be being beaten and showing marks on our bodies from persecution or whatever. But they need to see distinguishable marks. And I want to turn to Matthew chapter 5 here. So if you want to turn in your Bibles, I'm just going to briefly go through the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. And just real briefly, I'm going to look at what these marks of Jesus, looking at the marks of Jesus on our lives that other people can see. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The poor in spirit. You know, just realizing our sufficiency on God. Realizing we need God. Every single day we need Jesus in our lives. And just realizing our utter bankruptcy before God, really. Blessed are the meek. or blessed are the mourn, verse 4. Verse 5, blessed are the meek. Having that spirit of meekness, that's a mark of Jesus Christ that others can see, having a quiet spirit. Blessed are those which hunger and thirst after righteousness. I believe that's a mark of Jesus Christ when we have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, for his word. Do we have a hunger and thirst for his word? Does his word fill you? The next one is merciful. Blessed are the merciful. And that is truly a mark. You see a person that has a merciful spirit, has a spirit of forgiveness towards others. That is a mark of Jesus Christ that stands so out, so strong to the world today. And I want to briefly read a story. It's in the Voice of the Martyrs. It's the story of Regina. Regina and her husband were Nigerian missionaries. Her husband moved his family to a remote part of the country, and on June 14th, 2022, about 3 years ago, Islamic militants attacked their village and murdered a bunch of people. Regina and her family were captured, and as they tried to run away, when the militants questioned her husband, he told them he was a missionary, even though he knew that they could kill him for it. As he pleaded for mercy, he was killed in front of her and her young son. And here's a quote that she said in the Voice of the Martyrs. Anytime I remember, it is so painful. Even when you forgive, it is not easy to forget. God is still working on my heart. And that story is a touching story of a widow whose husband was killed right in front of her and her young son. And, you know, my heart goes out to her thinking of she forgave. She's able to forgive, but it's so painful. The scars are still there. The memories are still there. And she says God is still working on her heart. And so as I said, my heart goes out to her. And thinking about, you know, it's happening in the world today, where people are bearing the marks for Christ in a physical way. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. The pure in heart. Is your heart and mine, is my heart and mine pure? Are we thinking pure thoughts? That's a mark of, that is a mark of Jesus Christ. If our heart is pure, our actions will show it. That is the mark of a believer. Blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemakers. And we could do a whole sermon on peacemakers. You know, people who are wanting peace and not strife. We all know of people that are probably not peacemakers, and it's not fun to be around people who are always causing strife and always stirring things up. That's a mark of a believer. Blessed are the persecuted. And Paul knew what it felt to be persecuted. He really knew what it felt in his day. And lastly, I want to look at the mark of service. The mark of service. And thinking about us today demonstrating a life of service. Serving Christ where he has called you. And I want to encourage each one of you this morning to continue to serve Christ where he has called you. You know, so many times we want to do this or that. We want to go a step above, or we want to go, you know, do something greater or do something bigger for God. But I want to encourage you to serve Christ where he has called you, where you are at this morning. Serve him faithfully. And I want to think about the mothers this morning. The mothers here, there's probably times in your life where you feel all you do is give, give, give. Give, 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 give. You're always giving, giving this, giving that, giving to your children, and you feel overwhelmed. I'm sure there's many times where you feel overwhelmed, and you feel like you can give no more. I want to read two verses on that thought. I want to read two verses real quick here in Mark chapter 10, verse 43 and 45 says, "But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So thinking about Jesus Christ, he came to this earth. He came as a servant, and his whole life as he lived here on this earth, he served people. Think about it. He served people. He took time for one-on-one conversations with people. He took time for the crowds. When the crowds came out and were overwhelming him, he served them. He took time for them. He ministered to them. And that was his whole life, service, in service to others and ministering to others. And so I just want to think about that when we feel like all we do is give, and we feel like all we do is serve others. That's the life of Jesus. Just remember the life of Jesus, and that's what his whole life was. And he also served in many different ways. So in closing, not even going to turn there, but thinking about Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Those are distinguishable marks of Jesus Christ on our lives. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Did I miss any? I'm not sure. But those are distinguishable marks. If those are on your life, that's displaying the fruit of Jesus Christ and displaying the marks of Jesus Christ. And in verse 25 of Galatians chapter 5, on the fruit of the Spirit, it says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." That's one verse. If we live in the Spirit, let's walk in the Spirit. And so my encouragement to you is, if you are displaying these fruits, the fruits of the Spirit on your life, then it is a mark of Jesus Christ. It is showing the world what the Christian life is and what it's all about. And as this verse says, let's not just live in the Spirit, let's walk in the Spirit. So let's not just live our lives just for our own good and our own pleasure. Let's walk in the Spirit. And what that does, when we walk in the Spirit, it shows the world. It shows the world what the Christian life is about. And then when you do that, you're going to display those marks to other people. You're going to display those marks to your family, to your friends, to your coworkers, to all those that you meet with in a day's time. And it's going to show what it's going to do. It's going to show that Jesus is real. Jesus is alive. And he is really worth the cost. He is worth the cost of being a Christian. And even though we may not suffer persecution here, we may not have physical marks on our body, we can still bear the marks of Christ to the world around us in these ways. So let's not remain silent. Let's display those marks of Christ to this troubled world, because this world really needs it. This world really needs Jesus. And so I want to encourage you, each of you this morning, to press on and just continue on. I don't know where you're at or what you're dealing with or struggling with or whatever, but just continue on. Display those marks. Bear those marks for Christ, and it will show the world that Jesus Christ is real and he's alive and he is worth the cost. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you. We thank you for this another day, this Lord's Day, that we can come to your house, we can worship you, and we can serve you. Lord, help us to serve you the best we can and show the world what it truly means to be a Christian and to bear those marks of Christ in our lives. And help us to be genuine and honest and to be true to you, Lord, whatever the cost. And we just pray now for those who are suffering in other countries who are really bearing the cost, physically maybe. I just pray that you would just be with them. Give them grace and strength to continue on serving you. And just be with us here. Be with the church in Shenandoah. I want to pray you would bless each one here this morning. And as we go out and about in our communities, that we would show the world what it really means to be a Christian and the true being a follower of Jesus Christ. And just help us to every day live for you and just to continue serving you wherever we are. Just be with us as we go from here. In your name I pray. Amen.